Fourth and final hour of the Friday edition of Robbie and Rexrode. Joe Rexrode, David Beauclair from SI.com in for Robbie, Michelle Knezovic. We are sponsored by Volunteer State Bank, real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And we're going to get back into the Tennessee Titans, David. And so apparently they're becoming a bit of a darling. It's really, I'm getting mixed messages on the whole Titans thing. We got the analytics people hate them. We had the stat earlier that Michelle saw from, I'll make sure, Scott Kaxmar, NFL writer, about how this is the most wins over winning teams in NFL history. Yes, you add a game to the schedule, but still, that's pretty impressive. And so now apparently the analyst world is they're going more with the good wins. This team's been banged up, getting healthier now, over the analytics say the Titans aren't that good.
ESPN.com has a piece up right now where they talk to 15 of their analysts or whatever on a variety of subjects, have a few of their answers. Question number one, are the Titans the top AFC contender? Sam Acho says, in part, I'm doubling down on my midseason pick. Tennessee will reach the Super Bowl. Stefania Bell, the Titans will win the AFC with a run-heavy offense behind the return of Derrick Henry. Jeremy Fowler, Henry will pick up right where he left off and lead the playoffs in rushing. A lot of love for the Titans right there.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs, Titans. Don't like when people are saying nice things about you. So, get away for the weekend and... don't turn on your phone,
They're the ugly duckling. They need to be the ugly duckling, yes.
Well, look,
it feels better.
I think with things like this, you have to be careful if you're in our spot, I think, because obviously, I mean, it's very easy to be provincial. Obviously, we're around this team. We see this team, so we see the warts, but also, I think we've seen a lot more good than bad, right?
Right.
And we have a good understanding of all the challenges that have gone on and all the solutions that Mike Vrabel and his staff have been able to find and a lot of different players on the roster. So, I agree with these people. I don't want to say I don't care, couldn't care less what the analytics says about the Titans. Analytics can be useful, but, I mean, if you don't have anything in your program that takes into account 91 players, then, there's some limitations there.
I mean, I get analytics, and I think they're really fascinating, but, so many of these stats are, yards over expected or what.
Right.
What's expected versus what is? They're two dramatically different things, and you can tell me that, Derrick Henry's 68-yard touchdown run was expected to be a 5-yard run, and it turned into something more.
Right, like yards after contact. Okay. That's a great stat. I love that stat. Right.
Okay, but fact is, it was still a 68-yard touchdown run. So don't tell me that the Titans line didn't block it well enough to be a 68-yard touchdown run. I mean, because that's what it was. So I don't like analytics as much as a lot of other people do, but I get it. There are some interesting elements of it.
Yeah, for hockey, I've said this before. I find analytics to be, I guess, maybe more useful, just because football, a lot of the traditional stats are effective, And I think in a game like hockey, I like goals above expected, for example, things like that, and high danger chances, and trying to, because you look at a box score, wow, 46 saves, no kidding.
Yeah.
But that could be just a bunch of shots from the outside, and they're just peppering the net, but they're not really in the danger areas, and they don't really have that many primo chances. Another night, you have 23 saves, but it's six right in front of the, So that's in that sport, for example, I like them. In football, I like the pass rush stat, for example. Pass rush win rate, pass block win rate, as long as you guys aren't counting it as a loss when it's a screen, right? Because they're letting them in on purpose. I mean, as long as you have people, and that's where we just don't know.
The thing I don't like about hockey analytics so much, though, is that not every situation is the same, right? Like you don't know where the puck is each time a guy's coming over the boards, sure. and whether it's in play, you know, whether it's on a face-off. I mean, there's so many variables at work. At least in football, third and three is always third and three. You know, like, mm-hmm. like that's, yeah. that at the whole fourth down thing is interesting to me, because, you know, analytics has said, well, conversion rates and this and that. Well, I think that data is flawed for now, because for years teams only went for it on fourth down in desperate situations, when you're way behind or whatever, and maybe it's a situation where the defense is willing to give you a fourth, you know, 7 yards on fourth and six to keep the clock running, right? I think it'll become a much clearer picture in the next few years, where you've got several years of data of teams going for it much more often in many more early game situations.
Well, look, the math says, you know, especially like the math of, you know, your probability of winning, like it all shades toward
right.
go for it,
right?
Which is fine, and I'm here for people going for it more. But like, I look at a Brandon Staley, and it's like, you're at your own 18, and also, you know, a lot of the going for it decisions, it's okay, do you have a matchup you love? Like, you know, is your left guard hobbling or not?
Right.
There's just so much that you can't possibly capture in analytics. But like, I'm sorry, but you have Justin Herbert, and then you're just going to run up the middle on that play. Like, some of it
yeah.
is also like, just use common sense. You know?
The one analytics thing that I really like in pro football is the idea, or college football too, the idea that, say, you're inside the 20, and it's even if it's like fourth and seven from the 13 or something, that's a go for it, because even if you don't get it, analytics say the chances of them driving 87 yards are small, and you're likely to get the ball back, and you're likely to get it back from a starting field position that suggests you're going to score. You know, that, like, that I like. I think that's interesting.
Okay, so you liked Staley going on fourth and five against the Chiefs.
Not the one from his own end.
Yeah. No, there was one that was in the red zone.
Yeah.
It was fourth and five, which obviously.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That when you're deep enough to where even if you don't get it, you're giving them crappy field position. I think that's a really interesting, useful way to think about the game.
So,
but not all the time. Like, having said that, he probably would have liked a field goal or two from that game.
If he takes, and this is an easy second guess thing, because it's in retrospect,
right.
and we see the final score. But had he taken three field goals, where he could have taken three chip shot field goals, he would have won the game.
Right.
In terms of just adding that to the score, changing the score. Now, obviously, that's where you also get into, you know, if you want to like watch the movie Inception or Memento, and it's like, okay, but then when you did that, you just changed the entire
right.
future beyond that of how the game goes. And so you don't know. Okay, we got a caller here on the text line driven, or the phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Adam, you're on. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, buddy. I'm going to say something, and you're probably going to think it's crazy, all right? So just know that.
Bring it.
We're ready.
So if Derek comes back, and believe me, I'm a season ticket holder. I want him to come back more than anybody. I start thinking about, I think it's the Preds 2 years ago, where they had these B-team players kind of carry them to the postseason, and then they returned their stars, and they weren't really able to do anything. I know it's not the same thing, but I don't want to see him get 40 carries. I don't want to put it all on him. I don't think it's healthy for a team to change that much that hasn't had him for half a season. I think if you can – does that sound nuts? If you were to keep him around 15, 20 carries and – keep Foreman rolling the way he was rolling, does that sound better to you? I'd be scared to give it all to him right now.
Thanks for the call, Adam. No, look, I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, for like 15 to 20, I think that'd be – look, there's some people that would say, boy, that's a little high for your first game back. I think as effective as Foreman has been, like if it was a situation where Derrick Henry's coming back into a backfield where, you know, Adrian Peterson, like, oh, he just can't get anything going, and the rushing production has dropped off the table, and it's like there's just not an alternative. Like, this, if you want a running game, you have to go with him. Then I think it might be different, but that's not the case. I mean, Deontay Foreman's been really good. And for that matter, I don't mind Dontrell Hilliard with the ball in space a few times in a game either. So I don't think that's crazy at all.
No, it's not crazy, but I'll say this. If Derrick Henry gets 15 carries and Deontay Foreman gets 10 carries, does either
and
one
you lose?
Does either one of them get rolling? You know, aren't they both the kind of guys that need 15, 20, 25 carries to really get rolling? I mean, that's the risk I think you're taking with that equation, and that's why I say. I think if they get into it and you start to see Henry look like Derrick Henry, it's going to be very hard to say, well, let's just put Deontay Foreman in there. It'll be the same because I think momentum means something at that position.
That is an interesting point in the whole idea of running back rhythm, because if you ask a running back, they will tell you that is very real. We'll stick with that, get more into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We haven't discussed it, but I think, you know, I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. We're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's – I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football.
That was Ben sandbagging Roethlisberger. Oh, the poor Steelers.
Doing his best Lou Holtz right there.
Yeah, Lou Holtz. Wow, Rice is really looking good, everybody. Yeah, I tell you what, they've got a really good kickoff coverage team. So Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers going into Kansas City. And we have a caller on the line who wants to address this situation. Is
yes,
that right?
We do.
Our very own Junie Riddle, who is I'm assuming he sleeps on terrible towels at night. Junie on the line. Tell me, Junie, why the Steelers are going to win this game?
Joe, listen, I've been hearing you all week. My guys, I've been sick of it. I've been saying, Michelle, when can I get my hands on Joe? So thank you for having me on so that I can bury you this morning. So,
all right, let's go.
Let me give you a few things about the Pittsburgh Steelers this season that a lot of people are not talking about. This team is 9-2 when TJ Watt plays 60% of his snaps. Mind you, he just tied the NFL record playing in only 14 and a half games. So when this guy is playing and he's healthy, the Steelers are a very competitive team. They might not want to win like how you would like them to win, Joe. They're not going to put up the flashy numbers. It's not going to be the exciting scoring game that we see in 2021 like we do everybody else. But no, they're going to get it done. And that guy, Ben Roethlisberger, that you were just talking about, oh, by the way, let me tell you, he leads the NFL in comeback drives this year with 7. So, listen, Big Ben might not have it, but he can turn it on when he needs to. And when this team is healthy and going, there is nothing stopping him from in the fourth quarter turning the clock a little bit and getting it done. The O-line's played a little bit better. They put this guy, rookie Kendrick Green, third rounder in, who gets pushed back every play. J.C. Hasenauer is in there. Pat Freiermuth is going to be in there for Arrowhead. I was in Arrowhead the last time these two teams played a couple weeks ago, and it was embarrassing. And when I tell you that a Mike Tomlin team that has been coached up all year with one of the worst offensive lines in the entire league, they're going to be hearing all week long from people like you, Joe, telling them that they can't do it. I don't know how many times teams get in here and get told that they cannot do it, and they go in there and they get it done. This team is 4-0 when they get 2 sacks and 2 turnovers in a game. They're 4-0 this season, Joe, and you're telling me this team that leads the NFL in sacks in the season for the 5th year in a row in the NFL can't get 2 sacks and 2 turnovers against a turnover-prone Patrick Mahomes. This team can go in there and get it done. It's coached by Mike Tomlin, and I 100% believe that they can get it done this weekend, especially when nobody, and I mean nobody, is giving them a chance, just like you, Joe.
So 4-0, so they've done it 4 times in 17 games.
Yeah,
but they're about to do it a 5th time.
I 100% believe so. What like other than the 2 Raiders games and the Steelers games, Patrick Mahomes has not had a significant win this year. I mean, you're talking about some of these playoff teams. I mean, they got embarrassed by the Buffalo Bills. They got embarrassed by the Tennessee Titans. This team does not have that great of a defense. The stars aligned for them the last time they played the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you think that they are going to rout them like that again, you have lost your mind. This is a proud organization. A proud team that's well coached with a quarterback that's on his last leg. They're motivated. They're pumped up. They've been hearing they can't do it all year long. And I'm telling you what, Joe, you people keep counting them out, and I love it. You said last segment earlier today about the Tennessee Titans in the national media. You said lack of respect could be the feather in the hat for the Titans. I quoted you on that, Joe, and guess what? If that's a feather in the hat for the Titans, you're giving the Pittsburgh Steelers the whole chicken, okay? Because, listen, they got no respect. And you do that to a proud NFL team like that, they're going to come out firing. They're going to come out blazing. I think it's going to be a close game. And if you're going to ask me which quarterback that I want in the fourth quarter to have that final drive, give me seven, because seven has gotten it. They can go on the road. They can give that rock to the Naj, control the clock, and get pressure on Patrick Mahomes and really take control and make this game look ugly.
Thank you, Junie. Good call. You make some good points. I think one difference there in terms of the feather in the cap is that the Titans, unlike the Steelers, don't suck. I think that's the one thing that we might be missing here a little bit.
How are you going to say that, Joe, when we just beat you a month ago? We just
First of all, don't say you. This is not a fan versus fan thing. I'm not a Titans fan, but I did watch that game in person, and my God, man. Like, the offensive line is so bad. And look, the Roethlisberger stat, it's fine, but this reminds me of Mariota in 17. Didn't he lead the league and come back? I believe he did in 2017. You know why? Because they were trailing 13-10 in a bunch of these games with an awful offense. And yes, he made some plays late. Ben is. I struggle with the Ben thing, man.
Joe, can I make one last comment about that Marcus Mariota? Where did Marcus Mariota go and win a playoff game that season?
Kansas City.
Oh my God, we figured it out. Roethlisberger throwing a touchdown to himself. It's gonna happen.
Kansas City with Alex Smith at quarterback, as I recall.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, Junie, I want you to be right. I do. Seriously, I want you to be right. I want the Steelers to win this game. That'd be amazing. Or even just a competitive game. Like, the offensive line and, you know, the corners. I mean, I watched that game. You were there. Like, tell me why. I mean, you got good stats. Watt, 9-2, 4. But tell me what they're going to do, just player for player, matchup for matchup, that differently to make the game so much dramatic. I understand the psychology, and you're right, it's in their favor. But at some point, it's like Jimmy's and Joe's, right?
I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but I think last game they tried to come out and jump out on the Chiefs early. Mike Tomlin in the press conference was saying that in order to keep up with this team, they're going to have to put up points. And that's what they tried to do. They tried to beat the Chiefs at their own game, and that's not what you can do. They started off passing, a couple turnovers like that. But Najee Harris was getting 5 yards per carry that game. 19 carries, 91 yards. They need to give the rock to Najee Harris first, establish the run, let the pass come second, control the clock, get Patrick Mahomes, DJ Watt, cracked his ribs in that game, which was a huge factor on pressuring Mahomes. We know the key to beat Mahomes is to get him on under rest, and this team is built to do that. DJ Watt just needs to go in there. He needs to play like the defensive player of the year, and that is what is going to lead the Steelers to victory this Sunday if they have a chance. And I personally think that they do, and I think everybody is discrediting him. People like Nick Wright in the national media saying that playing the Steelers is better than a bye is absolutely absurd. They're going to make this a good game, and I would be willing to bet that it's going to be within 7 points.
Junie Riddle.
Biggest spread in wild card round history.
And T.J. Watt, the first sack in his postseason career would definitely come in handy here. A couple, two, three, maybe something like that. Thank you, Junie.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy Wild Card Weekend.
To Junie's point, Marcus Mariota did lead the NFL with 3 fourth-quarter comebacks that year. And for what it's worth, Titans trailed the Chiefs 21-3 in that game.
They did.
And came back in the fourth quarter with Marcus Mariota's 22-yard touchdown pass to
Eric Decker. Yes, Derrick Henry, huge game that day. But, yes, it'll always be known and remembered for the Mariota self-pass.
Self-pass, yes.
Self-pass. I'll always remember that day for the first question of the presser when I asked Mike Mularkey if he was going to be fired.
Did you really ask that?
Well, it was more like, there's a lot of rumors about your job, and basically he was like, yeah, it sure would be nice to have a little support around here. You remember this, Beauclair? Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, boy. And then, of course, he did get fired about 10 days later. But, look, man, I hope Junie's right. I really do. I hope Junie's right. I'd love to see a great game there. Their offensive line especially just it's hard because I think Najee Harris is going to be – a really good player in this league. I think he's legit number one back, and he can be one of the best backs in the league. They've got to fix that. And I just
Rob he also Porter. Hasn't practiced all week though. Najee Harris,
with
an elbow.
And Roethlisberger's at that point in his career where he's just so interested in getting the ball out of his hand quickly that sometimes I think it's that's more important to him than making the right play. He's got to show a little bit of the old Ben where he's going to be willing to stand in there till the very last moment and then beyond.
Because the last moment comes fast with that offensive line.
Yes.
Now, the one game in which they lost, but late the fourth quarter against Minnesota, I was like, ooh, this looks like Ben again, you know. But it hasn't been enough of that. But we'll see. And we will see also who we're picking for that game and all the other games, because Pigskin Pick'em is next. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 105 The Game.
Now it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
All right. It's getting down to it here. We're basically down to the end of this thing. We know Michelle has won going away and should absolutely be a handicapper in Vegas, which I expect to happen at some point in the near future. Although Michelle did go 2-4 with 2 points last week. You're only sub-500, is that right?
I didn't know I went 2-4. Yeah. Oh, because the push.
The push, we all lose, yes.
Okay, that's so annoying because
that's how we not that's gone how under 500. That's how we count
okay,
it.
Okay, so yes, I'm like 95% sure this is the first time.
Yeah,
did you see
we know
happened?
You're destroying us.
Did you see what nearly happened with the Raiders-Chargers game in the gambling world?
No.
This was fascinating. Apparently, bettors all over the place got enamored with the idea of Jacksonville winning and that game being a tie and Pittsburgh ending up on the outside. So people, all kinds of people bet the same parlay, which was Jacksonville to win outright. The Raiders and Chargers each plus a half a point, which means in a tie they win both halves. And like I saw a story that said if that game had ended in a tie, like the sports books would have lost $1 billion.
Vegas would have been.
Wow. I mean, it was that close to a total catastrophe for the sports books.
But somehow Vegas always finds a way.
Yes.
So last week Robbie had a rough one. 1-5, 1 point. I had a nice week, 3-3, got my lock, 4 points, which pushes me slightly ahead of Robbie as we head to the home stretch. This is about playing for second place. Michelle's 68-39, 78 points, 10-7 are locks.
I mean, so this is a good time for me to be stepping in for Robbie because you never want to follow a guy who was successful.
Well, Robbie actually is making picks, so we're going to have four. So we're just have your picks, and we'll see how you did against us next week. But Robbie sent in his picks, but – Michelle, think about that. 68-39 against the spread this year.
That's nice.
It's pretty good. I'm 52-56, 7-11 on my locks, 59 points. Robbie's 52-55, 5-13 on his locks, 57 points. So he and I are in an absolute struggle to finish second. So we're all going to pick the same games. It's 6 games. The playoff games, I'm going to go in chronological order here. So Raiders, Bengals, Bengals minus 4.5. Robbie always knows like who should go in what order or whatever. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm taking the Raiders. Robbie's taking the Bengals. Michelle.
I am taking the Raiders plus 4.5. I think the Bengals will end up winning the game, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that. So give me the Raiders.
I'm kind of thinking about the game the same way you are. Bengals in a very close one.
Raiders win outright.
Raiders outright. So you're going to go ahead and take the 4.5,
yes.
But you like the Raiders to win outright.
I do.
Mean, hey, if they do, oh, Marcus in Nashville.
Mariota.
Oh, my goodness. All right, next game, Niners-Cowboys, one of my games I'm really most looking forward to. The Cowboys here are -3. I am going with the Niners and taking the 3. Robbie also going with the Niners taking 3, and that is his lock. And Michelle, you say what?
See, I'm actually going to go Cowboys with this one. So
going with the Cowboys. Going with the Cowboys, giving the 3 points. See, whenever Michelle makes a pick now, I'm like, gosh darn it, I should have done that. I want to change my pick to what Michelle did.
49ers, lock.
Ooh, okay. And why do you feel so good about that one?
Because I don't trust the Cowboys defense. As good as that offense is,
Micah Parsons.
Okay,
he's very good.
He is very good, but there's holes in that bunch, and I think the 49ers are a much more physical team, and this is the time of year when physical play wins out.
The physicality. I love Trent Williams is playing. It should be a great game. Speaking of my number one game that I'm most excited about. Patriots-Bills, this is going to be Saturday night in Buffalo in what, 0 degree, 15 mile
an hour
winds.
Also, the tickets are super cheap. I know people in Buffalo, and they said they posted something online. It was like, what is Buffalo doing? $30 tickets.
Really?
For the playoffs.
It's the weather. Like, there's no bandwagon jumpers going out to that game. I mean, it's only the hardcore Bills fans.
They don't have enough Bills Mafia breaking through tables, drinking moonshine, folks.
Well,
to fill that place.
I mean, I just think there's just not a lot of secondary market. You know, I mean,
it's them.
It's them.
Their family.
That's, yeah.
Well, I'm going Bills. I think the Patriots are going to be a very popular pick here, but especially -4. I think the Bills can win by about a touchdown in this game. I know they can't run the ball. But I like their D, and I think Josh Allen runs the ball. I mean, that's what he does. That's how they beat the Patriots the last time they played, and I think that's how they do it again. Robbie does not feel the same way. He's got the Patriots. Michelle, what do you say?
See, I'm with Robbie on this one. Listen, I trust a Bill Belichick team in the playoffs, so give me the Pats. Also, I just don't feel confident in the Bills this year. They've been so inconsistent, and I don't think
and you
all
hate their fans.
And I hate Bills Mafia.
There's that too.
I think the Bills win, but it's close. Take the Patriots to cover.
All right. So I'm the lone ranger on the Bills. I thought I might be the only one there. All right. We go to Sunday. Two games Sunday. Eagles-Bucks. Bucks are -8.5 in this game. You know, the funny thing is I've been talking all week about how the Bucks and the Chiefs are just going to roll. But as I've thought more and more about this game, I actually think the Eagles can keep it a little bit closer than that. I think the Bucs are going to win, but I think the Eagles will give them a game, maybe tack on something late to cover the spread. So give me the Eagles and the 8.5. Robbie also feels differently than me on that. He has got the Bucs. Michelle, what do you say?
I have – oh, Joe, I'm with you on this one. I'm taking the Eagles at +8.5. Did the Bucs sign another receiver, or what is their situation? Antonio Brown's gone, so, I mean, I have faith in Tom Brady. I think the Bucs will win, but not by over 8.5.
Okay.
Too big a spread for this time of year. I think the Bucs win, but I'll take the Eagles to cover.
Sunday night. Sadly, this gets primetime, but maybe it's going to deserve primetime. I mean, Junie made a compelling case. I didn't totally buy everything he said, but he made a compelling case for his Steelers. It's Chiefs -12.5, and I'll tell you, I'm going Steelers.
Joe, are you? Are you going Steelers? Okay.
I mean, 12.5 is huge. I still think this is going to be something like the Chiefs are up 17, and the Steelers get a meaningless TD in the fourth. I don't think this is going to be a great game, but 12.5, that is a line, and look, there is something to the psychology of people like me and all over the place. I mean, Roethlisberger's leaning in heavily on it. There's something to that. I think they'll come out and play a focused, sharp game. It'll probably be more of a defensive game than the Chiefs would like. So, yes, I will take the Steelers. Robbie will take the Steelers. Michelle?
Listen, I'm sticking to the Steelers for this one. Make it my lock.
Oh, locking it down.
Yeah, I just think 12.5 is a huge number. But then again, another part of me, like a good percentage of me, thinks that the Chiefs could also win by 4 touchdowns. So we'll see.
They could. And and you say?
Much too big a spread. Chiefs win, but Steelers cover. You just can't.
I mean, hey, look at the Jags and the Colts.
I just can't go minus 12.5 at this time of year. Just can't do it.
This show has basically spent a half hour talking about how it's actually going to be a good game. So we are guaranteeing
not necessarily a good game. I mean, it could be cold. It's probably going to be cold and windy in Kansas City too. I mean, I just don't think the conditions are ripe for like a 38-10.
Right.
It's more like a 20-10, but it's never really close kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, last game, the first time we've ever had a Monday Night Football game in the NFL playoffs. And
this is a tough one.
I'm excited about this one, too. Cards, Rams, Arizona at L.A. They split in the regular season. Rams are minus 3.5. I'm going Rams, and give me the Rams as my lock. Yeah. And I will say, that's not to say I feel like they're just going to just run roughshod all over the Cardinals. I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Rams are going to win by about a touchdown. I think that actually the way that the Niners game ended for them may be a good thing. Stafford says his toe's okay. I'm going to believe him. And I think the Rams are going to make a run here and really be pushing to play in a game in February at home. Robbie, also going Rams. Michelle.
3 for 3. I'm going Rams as well. I mean, Sean McVay, this is their Super Bowl push year. They better get a win or it's not going to be too happy over in L.A.
There's going to be a lot of
a lot of movement, probably.
Probably some movement.
This is a hard one for me because I like the Cardinals a lot. I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury. So,
Yes.
But I never bought into the whole, now you're going to see something different from Matthew Stafford thing. I think Matthew Stafford is who he has always been, and therefore I'm going Cardinals.
You underestimate
outright.
You underestimate the stinkiness of his former employer, but I understand what you're saying. All right, so you got a Cards for Beauclair. So there we go. Our Pigskin Pick'em Picks as we go down the stretch. And we'll be back. One last segment, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, everybody, did you know you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day? Yes, you can. It's our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Welcome into the final segment, Robbie and Rex Road, from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Hillside Medical Game Studio, not Hillside Medical Game Studio. You know what I'm saying. Last segment, Joe Rex Show, David Beauclair in for Robbie, Michelle Knezovic. So, guest choice. David,
I want you to have a parting shot. I found this list earlier today from NBC Sports, ranking the backup quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
In the playoff teams, and it's interesting on a number of fronts. It's interesting in Nashville, at least on a number of fronts. Not the least of which is number 14 out of 14, of course, is Logan Woodside. They're saying this analyst says Titans have the worst backup quarterback situation of any playoff team. But it's interesting to me because this is a really nondescript list of players. I mean, the days of, you know, the Miami Dolphins with Don Strock are long gone, apparently, in the NFL.
How about Scott Mitchell?
Yeah, I mean, Colt McCoy, Cooper Rush, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, Jordan Love. I mean, any of these guys make you feel like they're going to win a game for you if you need it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
But there are two former Titans backup quarterbacks on the list.
We know one of them.
Checking in at number nine is Blaine Gabbert, who of course couldn't get the Titans to the playoffs in a winner take all game with the Colts at the end of 2018. But there he is, number one on the list. Marcus Mariota.
Boom. Boom.
Which Marcus brings Mariota. Me back to my bold prediction that Marcus Mariota will score the game-winning touchdown for the Raiders against the Bengals.
That, I mean, believe me, I am so in for that. by the way, I'll tell you, I go through this list. Can anybody tell me who the Los Angeles Rams backup quarterback to Matthew Stafford is? Because I needed this list to know this.
I mean, no, I wouldn't have known John Wolford. But how is John Wolford a little better than Chad Henne? That's my big issue with this list. Chad Henne of the Chiefs down at number 11. I mean,
he's old.
He's old, but at least he has experience and most of these other guys, goodness.
Well, I must say, I missed this. So, last year, he was 22 for 38, 231, a pick, and rushed for 56 yards with Goff hurt. And then he started against – okay, see, I totally missed that. He started against Seahawks and got pulled, and then Goff came back in. He had a concussion. So, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call that, you know, I don't know, man.
I mean, pretty much the point of this thing is I think anybody loses their quarterback over the next couple weeks is going to be in trouble.
Well, of the 32 teams in the NFL, how many feel good enough about their backup quarterback that, you know, they're like, okay, we'll still be fine. I mean, the Raiders, like, look, it's still the way Derek Carr is playing, there's a gap, but they would be one of the few teams to me that's like, okay, that's a guy who I would call still a fringe starter in this league.
And a guy who, when he's on, he is on and absolutely could win you a game. No question about it. Maybe even a couple of games. But Nick Foles, you know, like this is – nobody's going from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles on this list.
Right, exactly. I mean, gosh, number three on this list, I don't have any major quibbles with this list, but number three on this list is Trey Lance, which should tell you something. I mean, Trey Lance is a rookie who, you know, looks like a rookie when he plays. I mean, I think he's still got the potential to be a good quarterback in this league, but if that's your number three, that kind of tells you the slim pickings here.
I mean, Gardner Minshew, I guess, is a legitimate.
Yeah,
you know that. Like, that's what you're looking for in a number two guy, a guy who you're not going to dramatically. It's like you're not going to say, "Well, we're going to throw out half of these pass plays because there's no way he can make them." But you know, you get much beyond that. You start getting into the Trey Lances and Colt McCoys of this world, and oof.
Good old Colt McCoy, boys. He hung around. Minshew. There was some. Hey, maybe Minshew's better than Hurts at points this year when he came in and played pretty well. So yeah, that's what you want. Someone who has won some games as a starter, who you feel like, okay, you can turn it over and be okay. You know, I mean, even like so the Pats. You know, number 12 guy who I covered way back when as a college, his entire college career. You know, Brian Hoyer, man, still hanging in this league. I mean, obviously, Hoyer, when he was a starter in this league, he was a pedestrian starter, game manager. You know, obviously, he had a pretty good season with the Texans that then went really bad in the playoffs against the Chiefs. But that's not you could do a lot worse than that, right?
Yeah, I would think. Yeah,
I think he seems a little
too far down. He and Henne both to me are a little low down that list.
And then Woodside, hey. I mean, the thing about Woodside is I can't argue with Woodside being ranked 14th, but he's ranked 14th to me just because we have no clue.
How would you have an idea?
Yeah.
He's thrown three passes in his career, and the only one he completed was out of a fake punt. So, you know. But if
he had to be forced into a game based on everything you've seen from him, you feel like he could
hang in? I don't feel like he'd embarrass himself, but I think the offense would look a lot different.
Yeah, it's not what the Titans want. So, no. Well, that'll be just about it, folks. Darren Donick and Chase is up next. David, thank you so much for coming in the last 2 days. We've had a lot of fun, and I will let you know. I'll text you next week and let you know if you beat us in Pigskin Pick'em.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be watching. I'll be keeping score.
There you go.
I mean, I expect to go 6-0. So it just question of it whether anybody had the same picks as I did.
There you go. You may be the winner this week. David Beauclair in for Robbie. Thanks for listening, everybody. Michelle Knezovic, Joe Rexroad signing off. Darren Donovan Chase is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.